And I am very happy to spend the last day of my 50th year here at Grace and Hope. Amen. And I thank God that I was born in the flesh, but even more, I was born in the spirit. I thank God for being born again. And we pray that if anyone here this evening have not experienced that second birth, will do so tonight. Let us once again go to the throne of grace. Father God, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for life. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. And as we go into your wonderful words of life, we pray that we will have attentive ears and open hearts. And truly what will be said is what you would want to be said. Bless all those in this chapel tonight. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the question is, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? Katrina, Rita, Dennis, Wilma, Alpha? So what does it all mean? Scores, AIDS, cancer, bird flu? What does it all mean? Wars, earthquakes, famine, tsunamis. What does it all mean? Well, Jesus Christ tells us, and it is recorded, Matthew 24. Yes. Matthew 24. Starting at the third verse, and as he, Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And the 32nd verse reads, now learn a parable of the fig tree. These are still the words of Christ. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So as ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What is near? The end of the world. The coming of the Lord. What does it all mean? The hurricanes, the wars, the cancers, the bird flu, the tsunamis. It means that Jesus is soon to return. And it's interesting how people find it incredible to accept that this same Jesus who walked on water, who brought the dead back to life, this same Jesus who hung on the cross, was buried and came back to life. This same Jesus who ascended up into heaven is coming down from heaven. They find that hard to believe. But yet, the very ones who cannot accept the return of Christ can believe in aliens and UFOs. And they don't want to, but they'll listen to Art Bell and believe in these spaceships and kidnappings and all these fantastic stories. But the truth of the matter is, all these signs that we see before us, the Lord spoke what happened. The end is coming, and Jesus is soon to return. And when people do not know the Word of God, they can see these signs and yet not understand what's going on. Just like the Star of Bethlehem, when Jesus Christ was born, nature itself announced his birth. A special star was in the sky. Everybody had to see the star. It was up in the sky. And maybe they did notice that it was a special beauty, but yet they didn't understand its meaning. But the wise men who came from the east looking for the one born king of the Jews understood the meaning of the Star of Bethlehem. And people today, they see these signs. We're all talking about it, but yet they don't understand. And there are others who see the signs and they're twisting the meaning. You got these environmentalists, the green people, who are saying the reason why we're having these strange hurricanes one after the next. I think we made a record, 22 hurricanes in one season. And they're saying, not knowing God's word, it's because of global warming, or it's because the ozone layer is being destroyed because people are using air spray. There are people twisting the meaning of these signs. But we see it going on with the rainbow. The homosexuals are trying to hijack the meaning of the rainbow. Especially when you go to Greenwich Village and you'll see the rainbow flag. What does it mean? It's a gay-friendly store. Maybe if you're a homosexual and lesbian, they'll give you a special discount. But they're twisting the meaning of the rainbow. But if we look to Genesis, the 9th chapter, starting at the 11th verse, you will learn what the rainbow actually represents, what it actually means. Genesis 9:11, and it reads, "And I, God Almighty speaking, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow, rainbow, in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant or promise, contract between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow, rainbow, shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token, the tangible reminder of the covenant contract which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. In other words, the rainbow is not the homosexual symbol, but the rainbow is a tangible reminder that God made a contract with the human race, that never again will the world be destroyed by water. But one day the world will be destroyed. But it won't be water. It's the fire next time. James Baldwin wrote a book called The Fire Next Time. He was the son of a preacher man. But did he believe that this world would be destroyed by fire? If you turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter, Second Peter, the third chapter, starting at the 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, meaning he's going to catch a lot of people by surprise. If you've ever been mugged, that thief caught you by surprise. If you had known that it was waiting for you on 12th Street, you would have walked down 13th Street. But the Bible tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It may seem like a long ways away. I remember when I was 25 years old, 50 looked like a long ways away. And if God spared my life, I'll be 51. I can remember when I was 15. Did any of you ever watch The Twilight Zone? And they had all these shows about the future. And they would go as far in the future, 1990 sometimes. And look, it's 2005. Time is passing. But it's coming to an end. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that it's not going to be burnt up, this earth, the heavens. It's just going to be renovated. But the Bible tells us it will be burnt up. Let God be true. Let the Bible be true, and every man be a liar. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes, bird flu. What does it all mean? The end of the world. Jesus said, we'll go back into the record, Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13, starting at the 40th verse. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The words of Christ. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, verse 41. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them, those who do iniquity, those who are involved in sinful behavior, They shall be cast into a furnace of fire. What he's talking about? He's talking about hell. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Listen up, listen up. Verse 47, the words of Jesus. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and set down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, we're all not going to the same place. There's coming a day of separation. Right now, the sinners and the saints, the believers, the non-believers, we can sit in chapel together. We catch the subway together. We eat at restaurants together. But there's coming a day of separation when Jesus returns. Matthew 25, starting at the 31st verse. Again, these are the words of Jesus. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. There's coming a day of separation. Jesus' sheep, those who loved him, followed him, served him, they will be welcomed into his kingdom. But those who deny him, ridiculed him, ignored him, they will spend eternity in the furnace of fire, in hell. The warnings are all before us. The end of the world is drawing nigh. When we see the leaves now turning colors, we know it's time to pull out the heavy sweaters, to get out that winter coat. It's time to put away the spring and summer outfits. You won't need sandals anymore. Because when we just look at the leaves, there's a message. People think it's just nature. It's more than just nature. God is speaking. And as he tells us, winter is coming. You got to prepare for the cold. We see these hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes, famines, bird flu. It's time for us to make our peace with God. But a lot of people, they see what's going on. They even been in it. In the hurricane, in the earthquake. But for them, it's business as usual. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24:37, he said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, they were oblivious. Oblivious to what Noah was preaching. They were just ignoring it. How people are today. They are familiar with the words of Jesus. But to them it's no big deal. And even people who have gone through great trials and tribulations, even people who've gone through that Hurricane Katrina, now they're going back to normalcy. A lot of New Yorkers, immediately after 9/11, they were scared. But since then, and we thank God, no subway been bombed, no attacks, and they've gone back to normalcy. And Brother Joey shared with me this article from the New York Post, October 2nd, just showing how these very people who could have been killed by that Hurricane Katrina, how they've gone back to business as usual. And the headline reads, Bourbon Street Reborn, Baldy, B-A-W-D-Y, Baldy and Soul. And I'd just like to read a little bit of it for you. New Orleans, Cajun music, live and lively, drifts onto Bourbon Street, where handfuls of people sip from tall mixed drinks or supersized cups of beer as they stroll. Dozens of people throng the dance floor at Rezu's bar, singing along to We Are Family. A barker urges passersby to peek inside at nude dancers in Big Daddy's and in the Bourbon Street striptease store. Bourbon Street is Bourbon Street, he says. That's why they come here, to party, to let their hair down. Each night, there's a little more beat to the baldy heart of New Orleans. The stretch of bars, restaurants, strip clubs, and stores specializing in t-shirts with X-rated messages. That is one of the city's strongest tourist lures. For now, it's visited by locals who have returned from evacuations and out-of-towners who came to rebuild after Hurricane Katrina. Fewer than half of the businesses on the strip have reopened, but by Friday night, there were half a dozen live bands and bars and nearly as many open strip clubs. Those trying to kickstart a revival welcome any signs of comeback. When you see some activity, there's hope, said attorney Kim Ball, a member of the Bring New Orleans Back Commission. We can't walk around looking sad 24/7, she said. They said we wouldn't come back, but we're back. Back doing what? Back to practicing sin. They didn't take heed to the signs. It means nothing to them. And as I read the article, it made me think of the five foolish virgins that Jesus spoke about who did not have oil in their lamps. They just wanted to have fun. A girl just gotta have fun. But when the bridegroom came, they weren't ready. They weren't ready. Jesus said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Just like the old Negro spiritual, I wanna be ready. I wanna be ready to walk through Jerusalem just like John. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you're fornicating, you're not ready. If you're smoking that marijuana, you're not ready. If you're a homosexual, you're not ready. If you're a filthy mouth curser, you're not ready. If you hang out in those peep shows, you're not ready. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, you're not ready. And if Jesus should return, you can't say you weren't warned, because the signs are all before us. Amen. I'd like to close this message by reading a poem by Margie Knight. "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." and is printed in the Grace and Hope magazine. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom, in her rocker with baby on her lap, was watching the late show while I took it. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I know in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who are ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all.
Amen. And I think you've been warned tonight, and I trust you'll heed the warning. It's only a very unwise person who sees a detour sign and keeps riding their car to come to a broken bridge and over the precipice. But there are warning signs, and God is giving us warning signs. And the songwriter has asked the question, are you washed in the blood? Because that's our only salvation. We can't do anything about the storms. We can't do anything about the things, the elements that are happening. But we can do something about our relationship with God. And we can be ready. We can be ready. And, you know, as Brenda was reading those last signs, she stopped where it said that, you know, the Christians will be taken before the magistrates. Well, maybe that's yet to be fulfilled. So we may have to stand before others, even in America, and give an account. Who knows the suffering that might be ours? But we must be ready. And the only way we're going to be ready is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, because it's Jesus Christ who died for our sins. And he is the one who changes us. These ladies have a ministry called Transform. Transformation. And that's what Jesus does. He makes us brand new creatures. So we're going to stand and sing 110. Think about the questions that are asked in this song. But most of all, think about the answer. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Sin cannot enter into heaven, whatever sin it is, but sin cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ is eradicated, and therefore you can go into heaven because of Jesus Christ. 110. Anyone who wishes to be prayed for tonight, we invite you to come. Goes on to say, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. That's the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's ready to cleanse us. So when we will sing that last verse, and if your garments are still stained with sin, there is a cleansing.
Amen.
It's better than Tide or Clorox or anything else that you get stains out of your clothes. It's the only thing that can take the stain of sin out of your life, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we get to the chorus, instead of singing, "Are you washed in the blood?" If you are washed in the blood, say, "I am washed in the blood." But if you're not washed in the blood, don't sing a lie, but check your heart. And if you want to be washed in the blood, then ask the Lord Jesus Christ to wash you and to cleanse you from every sin, because He will. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the good news that we have to share. You know, it seems like sometimes there's gloomy messages, but there's still hope. As long as the Lord hasn't come yet, and as long as we're on this side of eternity, there is hope. And God is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. All who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? Oh, Our Father, we are thankful that we can begin a service with the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. And we can end a service knowing that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ by calling upon the name of the Lord and receiving Him into our life. We pray that You'll bless this message. And Lord, just make that message real in the hearts of all who have heard it. And we pray that they may never be able to get away from it until they call upon You and receive You into their lives and make their life right so that they know that they are ready when Jesus comes. We pray that You'll go before us each one and keep us safe as we go our separate ways, Father. And we receive this food as a gift from Your hand, thanking You for it, and we ask that You'll nourish and strengthen us with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you all. Remember the service Tuesday night.
And